Hey, Mid-Atlantic, it's me, Winter. Just a heads up, I'm gonna ice and snow all week, but if you're driving a Honda, you'll be fine. And right now, Honda is offering its best ever APR on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, and more. With real-time all-wheel drive and all the safety features included with Honda Sensing, like a collision mitigation braking system and adaptive cruise control. Oh, and don't forget to turn on your heated seats. It's gonna get cold. Sorry, see your local Honda dealer today.
Oh, John, consider editing this to the front of the podcast.
Oh,
we left out the most important thing.
What's the most important thing?
Padres Hot Tub is proudly sponsored by HeHe Streams, the best way to watch sports on the internet. Listen, you are listening to our podcast. You're a Padres fan. If you're living in San Diego, you're under one of two equally untenable umbrellas, okay? Either you are a cable subscriber or a DirecTV subscriber, and you're paying way too much for what you're getting per month. You're paying for hundreds of channels that you've never watched and you don't even know exist. And you're probably fed up with your service and like you're calling them every 3 months going, I'm really sick of you, just to get $20 off your bill that month. It's an untenable situation. Or you're in the other umbrella over here with me, where you cut the cord to save money and you had a good setup and everything looked all right. And then Sinclair bought all of the Fox Sports RSNs, jacked up the price. All of the different streaming platforms were like, screw you. Now they're in a fight and you've got a platform and you don't have the Padres. Come up in April, you're like, uh-oh, I hope they get their shit together. But you have no idea that they will. So John and I have the solution for you, and you're not going to go to jail no matter what.
Because it's not illegal.
It's not illegal for you. And it's hehestreams.com, H-E-H-E streams.com. It's this simple. Give our homie $100 for any season. You want MLB? Bam, MLB unlocked, baby. No geographical restrictions. That means you can watch every Padres game on the platform commercial free.
Yeah, if you've ever thought to yourself, like, man, I wish I could just buy the MLB.TV like Padres package, but I can't because I'm going to get blacked out because I live in San Diego. No blackouts. You can
do it. No blackouts, no matter who your favorite team is. And it's got all of the love that comes with the MLB League Pass. It's got MLB Network. It's got every game, home team, away team, national team feed, everything that you get in MLB Pass, but it's A, cheaper than MLB's Pass, B, no blackout restriction. Now, take that and attach it to NBA, NHL, and the National Football League, and all of these great American sports leagues are available for you on hehestreams.com. Do I wish they had English Premier League? I do. Do I wish they had some other sports?
Me too.
I do.
Me too.
Could that happen sometime down the road? I don't know. Will they exist a month
Probably.
From now? I don't know. But they're here now and we love
Maybe.
Them. So go to hehestreams.com. Tell them that we sent you. And in fact, reach out to us, right, John? Because I don't think we've established yet our special code.
It's just we have referral codes, and if you just reach out to us and say, hey, I want to sign up for HeHe Streams, I'll send you a link, or Craig will send you a link. It gets you, I think, $10 off. So instead of paying $100, you're actually paying $90 for any of those seasons, and it gets us $10 as well, I think.
So that's the deal. We've hooked up with these guys there. You know, John, you've got the service. I've got the service. We've been using it. It's incredible. It's great. Really, you should take this and just take it from the end of the podcast. Put it on the front of the podcast.
I'll leave it here and I'll put it on the
do.
Front. That way they can hear it at the beginning.
I
and
like
the
that because HeHe Streams, HeHe Streams.com. Go there. Tell them we sent you. We want to. This is the way around. That's all I'm saying. This is the way around for Padres fans. You're going to get screwed. You're either going to pay too much or you're not going to get your Padres. Or option C, HeHe Streams.com. Welcome inside the Padres hot tub. Settle on in. Craig Elston, John Gennaro with you. It's the 1st of February. We welcome you to what is I think a podcast, John, filled with things that we've been meaning to talk about and haven't talked about. We got a couple of new topics, and then we got one that's deeply overdue.
Very, very much overdue, to the point that people were accusing us of purposefully skipping it, when in reality we just are not very good at remembering things.
That seems to be the case. I do remember that this is our Padres podcast, newly renamed. We also have a Patreon feed for those of you who haven't dived in. The first of the month is the best time possible to become a patron of our Patreon feed. And it's $5 a month at the entry level. John and I are recording 3 podcasts above and beyond Padres Hot Tub every week, whether or not we have a Padres Hot Tub. We get together for a Monday banter. We do a Wednesday one-on-one interview where we alternate, and every other week it's John or myself interviewing somebody about something. Those have been very interesting. Fridays, we have our casual Friday show, which continues to be refined.
It's
a work in progress. But again, the first of the month is a great time to jump in. Things will be changing. We're heading towards spring training, theoretically. We're heading towards a season in which things will get a lot more baseball-y on the Patreon side of things. So we appreciate everybody who has been supporting us. We appreciate our incredible listening audience. And for those who have thought about it, why don't you jump in here in February, give our various podcasts a try at a very low cost, and 28 days from now, tell us what you think.
I am going to a little peek behind the curtain before I ask you to find a way to throw to Bobby Cressy. I'm going to ask you to add something additional to our list of topics to talk about, because a couple of days ago I was mad online is the wrong phrase. I was just tweeting too much, and mostly about Chris Paddock. And I don't know if you saw any of it, but it probably needs to be addressed, because I was trying to speak for both of us, and that's never good when I do that.
Okay, well, I definitely want to know about that, because I'm not sure that I do right now. But first, let's invite in our musician friend and see what he wants to play. He wanted to play our theme song.
Yay.
Good job, Bobby. Greg and John with you in the Padres hot tub. Where do you want to start, John? I'll let you dictate the flow as we go.
You know, let's start with the most overdue topic before we forget it again. A couple of weeks ago, it was announced that Ted Leitner, affectionately known as Uncle Teddy, is not going to be a part of the radio broadcast team for the San Diego Padres this upcoming year, I think for the first time in 40 years. And I believe he's being replaced by Tony Gwynn Jr. It'll be Tony and Jesse, if I'm not mistaken.
Think so, yeah.
And, you know, we have accidentally skipped this story a couple of times because we've been so focused on the team and the players and the trades and the acquisitions that we haven't really had time or mental power to talk about the broadcast team.
Also, it came out on a Saturday.
That's also true.
Which was really weird. And I think for both of us, it kind of got memory hold in that sense.
I agree. But I just want to say that, like, I am one of Teddy's biggest fans. I always have been. And I could go on a rant right now about how Teddy was absolutely perfect for Jerry Coleman, and Jerry really needed Teddy. And I think Teddy was maybe a little bit lost once Jerry left, but he still found a way to be entertaining, which was kind of Teddy's thing. And I just think it was a wonderful career. And, you know, there was the old story where Tony Gwynn said, you know, that Jerry was actually Mr. Padre. Jerry would say, no, Tony's Mr. Padre. Like, Teddy's never going to be Mr. Padre, but he deserves to be up there in those conversations in some way, shape, or form, because no one's been around the team longer than him, really. And I think he really did a great job of kind of giving voice to the fan base as much as he possibly could.
So I have a deep amount of respect for Ted that comes from decades and was earned over time. Because when I came to San Diego, I very much disliked the style of Ted Leitner. And that's both on TV and on the radio. I didn't like him as an announcer. I didn't like him as a baseball announcer. I didn't like him much as a football announcer. And I certainly didn't like him because I didn't get it. I hadn't been in it, you know, and I was an outsider when I first came to San Diego. So at the time, his shtick and his popularity was like confusing to me. I had come from, you know, Fred Rogan and Jim Hill and, you know, these old lions of the L.A. television, you know, sports industry. And then come down here to this wise guy who's riffing and hates hockey and only shows fights and like it's all about him. And when I was in college, I couldn't stand Ted Leitner, to be very honest with you, just as a fan and a consumer, I mean. I held that opinion all the way until 2000 when Ben Higgins and I got the chance to do Kogo Every Game Padres for 4 years. And in those 4 years, I became a fan of Ted's play-by-play, and in particular because that was in that late middle career stage. Like, I really think of Ted Leitner's career in three stages, and I'd love, you know, we could kind of go through all three stages and talk about him. But the particular time that I really first became like professionally associated with Ted, where he'd be on our pregame show and we'd be interviewing him like once a day, you know, et cetera, et cetera, was 2000. And at that time was really when Jerry was really beginning the steep part of his decline on the air, where he was starting to not make sense. He was starting to not see things. You know, he really couldn't see past the warning track in most situations. And and he was the number one, right? He was doing the, you know, first inning and the ninth inning. And things were getting like really dicey. And there were a lot of times, I mean, Ted was kind of a master when it came to soft chewing those moments. You know, when it came to finding the gentlest way to, if he needed to, introduce a fact, or quite often just let it sit there, like not correct the public record. Just let Jerry make a mistake and live with it, because Jerry's earned the right, essentially. But to do all those things that kept him humanized, kept him engaged, you know, what you do today, all the storytelling. So I really appreciated Ted when I was doing, you know, when Ben and I were doing our job, because we'd be a lot of times, I remember, especially the first Kogo studio before they built the behemoth there off Daly Center Drive, where they are now up on Murphy Canyon Road, where they were when the first 2 years we were there. They didn't have the TV that had Channel 4 San Diego in that building. So we had to listen to the radio call. And I mean, Ted was the only time I knew for sure what was going on. So, I do mean that in the literal sense of the word, literally. There was times I had no idea what was going on when Jerry was on the mic. So I do truly, truly believe, John, that the way the Padres handled Jerry's on-air decline contributed to their decision to make this transition now instead of the old quote-unquote whenever Teddy wants to hang it up.
Yeah, that's fair. And I've defended Ted since I got to San Diego 23 years ago. Because when I got here, I immediately turned on him and Jerry. And it took me a couple years before I realized that there's a lot of people who didn't like Ted, just like you. And it took me a while to figure out why. And it's because, and this is part of what makes Ted special and unique, and like, they're not really trying to replace him in any way, because Tony Gwynn Jr. is not Ted Leitner. He's a totally different animal. Ted was an entertainer. Like, before even telling you about the baseball, Ted was an entertainer. And his job was to make the broadcast as entertaining as possible. And that was true on the news, and that was true during Padre games, and it really never stopped being true. And I found Ted to be a riot. Like, some of my deepest, heartiest laughs I've ever had came from listening to Ted call Padres game. And not laughing at him, literally laughing at jokes that he's made at his own expense, or every single time he would talk about Coors Field. I just found Ted to be hilarious. And I think the people that love Ted are the people that are like, I don't necessarily have to take this guy, like, you know, old-timey baseball serious. You know, he's not Harry Callis. He's not Vin Scully. Never going to be Vin Scully. Never tried to be Vin Scully. He tried to be something of a comedian and entertainer in the booth. And I think it worked really well with Jerry. He, like you said, he was also very compassionate and empathetic to what Jerry was going through. And I think it even worked pretty well with Jesse. And it's going to be very, very different with Jesse and Tony. Jesse's funny, but not like in that tone, in that Teddy, like, lambastic.
Right.
He's just on all the time type of thing. So it's going to be a lot more of a stale's the wrong word, straight ahead broadcast from Teddy and Tony Gwynn Jr. But yeah, I always loved the shtick, especially because when I started listening, I was 13 and I was like, this is wild. Sure. They're calling a baseball game and telling jokes, like, this is the best. So I never stopped realizing that. I started saying this a couple years ago. If you could pick an ideal job for Teddy, maybe not ideal for him in terms of like he'd like it the best, but the one that he would be absolutely best at, it's the master of ceremonies. Every single time they had him be the host or master of ceremonies for something, he knocked it out of the park, because that's what he was born to do.
Sure.
He just happened to transition into sports and still make a go of it. But man, I love Teddy, and I'm going to miss him on the broadcast call. And I hope he finds ways and reasons to be on microphone somewhere, because he still makes me laugh.
I'm sure that if Ted wants to do something further on the mic that's not Padres play-by-play, that he's going to have that opportunity.
I want him to have a podcast. I think it would be hilarious.
I think it would be great. One of my favorite, you know, I had a very short-lived, do you remember this, when I had the short-lived podcast at 1090? Like, when I got there and I had an interview podcast for a few weeks, the first one I did was Ted.
Was I there?
Yeah, you were there.
I don't remember it at all.
I'm pretty sure that you were there. Maybe you weren't there. I don't know. Maybe it was before you. But I actually loved that thing. And it got shut down around the time that old Shep got all mad. You were there for that, weren't you?
No, that was before my time. That was a year before my time. I will say, I've only really had like two conversations with Teddy. He probably doesn't even know who I am. Wouldn't recognize me, whatever. But I've had two conversations with him. They were both, I mean, hilarious. I was rolling on the floor. The second one was the Padres had moved to 97.3, but it wasn't the fan yet. It was the machine.
The machine, yeah.
And Cilio was there and Ted just let loose his actual thoughts, because there wasn't a microphone around. There wasn't a reporter around. And it was like me, him, and a couple other guys from 1090. And he just told us what he actually thought. And it was the funniest thing. And I was just rolling on the floor. And I was like, I don't know. There's something about those, like the old Brooklyn guys that are just funny because they never stop shit talking everything. Like Tony Kornheiser and those likes, they just always hit me in a really, funny bone in my chest.
So I guess really I just want to celebrate the career of a man who's really had it all, because, you know, I know from talking to Ted and from, like I said, I went to his house and did like almost a 2-hour interview with him.
That's awesome.
Talking about his whole career and whatnot. And, you know, Ted's always had a feeling of not being loved in the way that Jerry was loved. not being appreciated, always feeling like the number two, you know, always kind of feeling like, well, yeah, this guy's going to be in the Hot Padres Hall of Fame. I'll never be in the Padres Hall of Fame. You know, that kind of thing. And that's just insecurity. And I feel like Ted's always had that insecurity. It's a lot of the things that have caused problems in his life is him having an insecurity about this, that, and the other. But just consider this. At his peak, which was in the 80s, which is a really fun time for a guy of Ted Leitner's age and level of success to be alive and doing what he was doing, okay? Ted Leitner ran this fucking town when it came to sports culture, okay? He set the tone. He had not only just think about this. Like, okay, Ben does sports on Channel 10. Right? Which means, like, when they're nice to him, he gets 90 seconds, and other days he might get 70.
Right.
And it's like, you know, give me this clip, give me that clip, in and out, bing, bang, boom, see you later. People would tune in for Ted's part of the Channel 8 newscast because they knew he probably walked on the set for the first time seconds ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, sits down, he's all up in his own shtick. There's no teleprompter. There's no script. He and the producer have worked out whatever highlights he's going to play. But short of that, it's an improv act. On the air, you know, twice, two, three, four times a day, and, you know, five times a week. And he had power, man. He had more power than anybody in terms of getting people mad, getting a coach fired, getting somebody riled up. You know, he was always feuding with players. And that's something that people would never, encountering late career Ted, even understand. That, you know, for example, Benito Santiago hated Ted Leitner. And Ted Leitner hated Benito Santiago and would go out of his way to ding Benito Santiago under any circumstance. He would trash Benito Santiago, like, you know, stuff like that. Like, no announcer in today's world can even exist doing stuff like that. You know, you just get fired on the spot. But Ted had that power. Ted had the power to be doing his sportscast from the booth down the press box at Qualcomm Stadium minutes before he was going to be on the air calling the Padres game. I remember seeing that even into the early 2000s, him doing his sportscast and then walking over. But in the 80s, he had all that power. He called Padres for decades. He called Chargers. He called Aztecs and presumably will continue to do so. I don't think the Aztecs have transitioned him out as far as I know. Like, for four decades, Ted Leitner has been synonymous with the best jobs in sports in the best city in the country to live in. Don't ever shed a tear for Ted Leitner's career. He made a lot of weird personal decisions. It's cost him a lot of money over the course of time, that's for sure. But he's lived a life and lived a career that nobody could possibly hold a candle to. I mean, you know, it's just it's not even replicable. The job doesn't exist anymore, what he did in his career.
Hey, Mid-Atlantic, it's me, Winter. Just a heads up, I'm gonna ice and snow all week, but if you're driving a Honda, you'll be fine. And right now, Honda is offering its best ever APR on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, and more. With real-time all-wheel drive and all the safety features included with Honda Sensing, like a collision mitigation braking system and adaptive cruise control. Oh, and don't forget to turn on your heated seats. It's gonna get cold. Sorry, see your local Honda dealer today. Hey, Mid-Atlantic, it's me, Winter. Just a heads up, I'm going to ice and snow all week. But if you're driving a Honda, you'll be fine. And right now, Honda is offering its best ever APR on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, and more. With real-time all-wheel drive and all the safety features included with Honda Sensing, like a collision mitigation braking system and adaptive cruise control. Oh, and don't forget to turn on your heated seats. It's going to get cold. Sorry. See your local Honda dealer today.
Agreed. Moving on to another king. Let's talk about Fernando Tatis Jr. Let's do that. What it means that Fernando Tatis Jr. is on the cover of MLB The Show's 2021 version of their game.
Okay, let me clear one thing first. Is this like Madden? Is he guaranteed to break something or have a really bad year?
So it's funny you mention this. Someone sent a message to our Patreon earlier today saying that there is such a thing as the show curse and that almost every player who graces the cover has a really bad year the next year. So I think there is something to that. Let me see. I think this guy actually sent me... Okay, he sent me a YouTube video to check out that's talking about the curse of MLB The Show's cover. And he said even in this video, they didn't mention Javi Baez, who was on the cover of 2020 and obviously had a down year. So, yes, this is like the cover of Madden, where it's slightly cursed and you're kind of doomed to have a down year the next year. Let's throw that to the side because this is going to sound very un-baseball, but I don't really believe in curses.
What?
The best
Theo Epstein over here. I know. Oh, look at this Theo Epstein here.
The best tweet I saw about Tatis on the cover was someone, and it was a baseball writer, pointing out that there has not been a national baseball star this big, this hot, this like holy shit, the whole world is coming after him right now. From a small market in baseball since Ken Griffey Jr. with the Mariners.
I was just going to say Jr.
And
right.
So they compared Fernando Tatis Jr. to Ken Griffey Jr. Look, we've compared Fernando Tatis Jr. to A-Rod, right? But A-Rod wasn't even the huge star that Jr. was. Jr. was
right.
The type of star that like gets people who don't watch baseball to watch baseball. And now Fernando Tatis Jr. seems like he's that kind of guy where he's getting people who do not watch baseball to be like, okay, I got to see what this is about. And not only did Fernando Tatis Jr. get on the cover of the game, which is just a stunning thing. And by the way, not surprising that he has not signed an extension with the San Diego Padres before this was released, because now he can come in and say, I'm the biggest star in baseball. They put me on the, right. You got to pay me like I'm the biggest star in baseball, which may have been a point of contention before. But not only is he on the cover, but he's on the cover doing a bat flip. And all of the marketing around it is him saying, you know, people are mad that I broke baseball's unwritten rules. They're mad that I'm flipping the bat. They're mad that I'm swinging a 3-0 pitch. I'm sorry, but too bad. We're not going back. Yeah. We're not changing. I'm going to lead baseball into the future. I mean, this is huge. This is massive. Like that is more national spotlight than, correct me if I'm speaking out of turn here, that's more national spotlight than Tony Gwynn Sr. ever got.
Oh, absolutely.
That's incredible.
Tatis is already more known than Tony Gwynn ever was or will be.
So he's already the biggest star in the history of the San Diego Padres, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
He's 22? He's 22?
Yeah.
Okay, so right off the top, this is awesome. It is great for us as Padres fans. We are rooting for the best team to root for. I'll just keep saying that as long as it keeps staying true. And this becomes a fringe benefit when you're rooting for the best team to root for with the most marketable, most exciting player. It's really not surprising that corporate America has hooked on to not just a good player, but a player that's got a combination of so many things, right? He's got panache. He's good looking. He's a person of color. He has a very colorful look to what he does. And very importantly, he's now got a bumper sticker shtick. Rewrite the rules. Right?
Right.
I think that's maybe even like on the cover somewhere.
I think it is.
Rewrite the rules.
Yeah.
So this is terrific. It's great for us as fans to be basking in the glow, however remotely, you know, of the shine of Fernando Tatis Jr. So will you permit me to have one tiny moment of concern trolling and then one legitimate concern?
Yes. However, before I let you do that, do you want to go through who has been on the cover of MLB The Show?
Please tell me.
All right. These are all the people since 2010. So 2010, Joe Mauer, who ended up having a good season. 2011, hilariously enough, Joe Mauer, who then had a bad season. I don't know how they put him on the cover twice.
Yeah, what happened?
Don't know. MLB The Show 12, Adrian Gonzalez, who I believe was on the Red Sox when he was on the cover.
Okay.
And then got traded to the Dodgers. Had a solid year, but down year for him. 2013, Andrew McCutchen had a massive year in 2013. 2014, Miguel Cabrera had a very good year. 2015, Yasiel Puig had a pretty down year.
Yeah, that was the start of his decline.
Yeah, 2016, Josh Donaldson looked like he had a good year, finished with 37 mm-hmm. home runs, 99 RBIs, 953 OPS, so that one seems fine. 2017, Ken Griffey Jr., who
must have been a legacy thing.
Yeah, it was trying to celebrate, you know, the greatest players in baseball, so that really doesn't count. 2018, Aaron Judge looks like he still had kind of a monster year. 27 home runs, only 67 RBIs, 919 OPS. So that one's fine.
Maybe he got hurt.
It says he played in 112 games. So yeah,
that's 50.
Yeah. And then 2019, the show was Bryce Harper, who then had a down year. And then last year was Javi Baez, who in 59 games had an OPS of 599. Jesus Christ.
I'm officially no longer concerned.
Yeah.
That's nothing like Madden. Most of those players had pretty good years.
Right.
Some of them had very good years. And only really Javi Baez had a really bad year. Bryce Harper just wasn't Bryce Harper MVP great. Like,
right. I'm trying to see, like, maybe Puig? It's like Puig, maybe Harper and Javi Baez. That's it. The rest of these seem fine. So yeah, no curse. Unless you want to, I mean, they were just going to put Joe Mauer on until he had a down year. So that doesn't really count.
Right. They wrote him until he bucked him. So yeah, that's fine. Okay. So here, is my tiny bit of concern trolling. This is definite concern trolling because it's not my place. Okay. And I'd like to admit that it's not my place to offer this concern.
Okay.
The brand of Fernando Tatis Jr. is now firmly established.
Yep.
Rewrite the rules. This is not just a great player. This is a genre-breaking player. Simultaneously, I think what we love about Fernando Tatis Jr. is his genuine enthusiasm, is the fact that we feel like we are on the journey with him and that he would come over and give us a high five and a hug and that he is that person. And it's kind of like the opposite, because I just did a Crossing Streams doc with Ryan Phillips talking about the Tiger Woods documentary. You know, Tiger's carefully cultivated public persona where there was nothing behind it, right? Yeah. The thing that kind of has powered Tatis's joyous entry into our universe is how genuine he is. You know, even to the point of being cowed that night when he swung 3-0. Remember, he apologized that night. That was not featured in the show commercial, you know, right. Nor any of the other ads. But that was a thing that happened. And my wonder and question is, if the brand is rewrite the rules and the challenge is for Fernando Tatis Jr. to navigate this world, continuing to be this genuine version of himself, are those two things compatible long term? The more money and more branding you put on top of it, or why does it you have to live up to the image, in other words.
Why wouldn't they? You're just saying, like, he can't be his genuine self rewriting the rules the whole time? Is that what you're saying? Because at some point he can't do that anymore?
Well, that being a great player isn't going to be good enough. That there has to be a thing alongside, and that maybe that becomes something that becomes invented when it's not genuine. And once it becomes invented, maybe it's no longer as delightful as it has been. I told you it was concern trolling.
No, I see where you're coming from. And this was actually like, this was kind of a weird concern that I tucked away deep inside before this last season. And in my head, it came out like this. Is Fernando Tatis Jr. going to be so focused on making highlights and getting talked about and all this stuff that he's going to be trying to make spectacular plays every single night, every at bat, every time the ball comes to him? Or is he going to play as well as he can and pick his spots to do like the otherworldly, almost unhuman things? And I think what we saw, small sample size, I think what we saw last season is that he can be a baseball player every day who does the right things and has solid at bats, and he can pick his spots and just kind of know, like, okay, here's where I can do that one thing that everyone wishes they could do, but only I can do, and I'm going to take advantage of it right now. So because I had a little bit of the same concerns going into last season of like, oh no, he's going to try and make a highlight reel every single night, and it just turned out he's just a really good baseball player who just happens to make highlight reels because he's an incredibly good baseball player. I think he'll be good. I think it really, really, really genuinely helps him to have guys like Machado and Hosmer in the locker room with him, teaching him, like, hey, like, you can make the spectacular play, but make sure you make all the regular plays too, right? I think those guys are excellent, excellent mentors for him. So I'm not worried that he's going to be like trying to break the rules at all time. I think he's just going to go about being a really good baseball player. And like, when someone's like, hey, you could hit a home run here, but it's going to hurt the other guy's feelings, he'll just be like, fuck that, I'm just going to home run.
Right. Well, I guess I'm also thinking about the journey toward becoming a global brand, because Fernando Tatis Jr. has an opportunity to enter the rarest of echelons, right? Of people who are one name globally known. And no baseball players really break into that LeBron, Michael, Yao Ming, you know, Tiger, global phenomenon category. Messi, you know, is one that, you know, you would know across the world. But Tatis is growing in this. And there's always risk inherent in becoming a global brand, in becoming a billion-dollar entity unto yourself. You know, that's going to create a lot of things that are going to make it harder to concentrate on the field. But all power to him, and I hope he makes every dollar possible. Which brings me to my actual concern, John. Because go ahead.
Very, very quickly, I think, because we mentioned him like 10 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago, all the points you just made are good, but I think we can point at Yasiel Puig and be like, that's like, he was on his way and then he lost his way. And now He's just like a good player who occasionally does things, but he's always trying to make the spectacular throw, the spectacular dive, the big home run. And so I think there's enough examples there that Manny and Hosmer can point at and be like, look, you don't want to be Yasiel Puig. You want to be A-Rod. You want to be, I don't know, great. You want to be Mike Trout. You want to be the best player in baseball for an extended period of time. You want to get to the World Series. You want to have rings. You want people to talk about you forever. People aren't going to be talking about Yasiel Puig in 15 years. So I think he's smart enough. He's got his dad talking to him too. I think he'll be fine. But go ahead, your other point of concern.
So here's my here's my point of concern that I feel like I can talk about, because the other one, like I said, I felt like it was overstepping. Currently, John, Fernando Tatis Jr. has signed big money sponsorship deals with Gatorade, with BMW, with Adidas, now with Sony for MLB The Show 21. He's signing big deals to his left, to his right. He's signing big deals with everybody. You know, it's the one person or one entity that Tatis is not signing a big deal with? The San Diego Padres. And this was our number one offseason priority. And I do feel like it's been lost in the shuffle because so many great things have happened. And Snell is here and Darvish is here and the team is better and Kim is here, you know, and Profar's back, and we're all very excited, and we think this is a great team. But I'll go back to what I said at the Snell Darvish trade podcast. At some point, you got to pony up the bucks to Tatis Jr. And as all of these endorsements come in, trust me when I tell you, the people on the other end of these endorsements, they are all telling Fernando Tatis Jr. the same thing. Kid, you're doing great now, but just wait. We put you in a bigger market. We get you a bigger shine. Buddy, you'll be owning the team by the time you're 35. You'll be the next LeBron. And that's going to be an irresistible pitch the longer and the louder it gets, and the more money that piles up from the outside in Tatis's bank account compared to the $1 million that he makes with the Padres this year. And time's a-wasting. I love that they're spending the money. You lock in Fernando Tatis Jr. to an 8-10-year deal. Now I know where the window is and when it closes, John. Right now, we've got a 3-year window because we know that Fernando Tatis Jr. could be traded or gone 2 years later.
Okay. Some points to make. Number one, because this is like a big thing when it comes to NBA superstars. And I think it'll be a big thing for Tatis as well. NBA superstars make more money on their endorsements than they do from their salary. By like a pretty substantial margin. Like LeBron makes, I think, twice as much, if not more than twice as much as his salary on endorsements. Tatis is obviously there now, and is probably going to remain there as long as he, you know, continues to be an all-star every year in the MVP discussion and this kind of player who generates buzz and everything. He'll get to the point where, yeah, maybe he'll make $30 million in his salary, but he's making $50 million, $60 million on his endorsements. In that, I mean, we should be rooting for that, because in that case, it doesn't really matter where he is. Like, yeah, sure, they probably don't want him with the Kansas City Royals, but he's within a short drive to LA, so that works in his favor. Like, the reason that LeBron came to LA was because he wanted to start a production company, and you start a production company in LA. If Tatis wants to start a production company, he can do it in LA and just drive up there. Like,
okay.
Or
he could just play there.
Or he could just play there, yes. But what I'm telling you is, like, it's gonna get to the point where he can take $30 million a year for, let's call it 15 years, from the Padres or literally any other team. But what's gonna be the, you know, bigger part of his income is gonna be his endorsements. And I don't think he's gonna look at the endorsements he's gotten with the Padres and go, oh, I could get so much more if I went to LA. I could get so much more if I went to New York. Like, maybe that's true. I know that there's, like, some players with NBA shoe contracts that are like, oh, if you get to a major market because you're not in a major market, then your thing goes up.
Right.
But if he's already making, let's call it, $40, $50 million a year in endorsements, and it's like, oh, you're going to get another 30 from your salary, he can pick wherever he wants to be. And, you know, does he... We don't know what the landscape's going to look like by time he hits free agency, if he hits free agency. But I think...
Oh, by the way, that's another great reason to sign him, because they could have a whole upheaval and then say, oh, free agency is in 4 years now, not six, and come out of the other end of a contentious CBA, and you've got 1 year left at Tatis, and you never realized it.
Yeah, well, that could be a part of what him and his agent are, you know, waiting for, because then they're like, oh, you're going to lose him sooner unless you, you know, you got to pay him more up in the beginning part or whatever. I'm not nearly as worried about this as you are, because he's getting the endorsements. If he was struggling to get endorsements, it's like, oh, he's sponsored by Lolita's and Brigantine. If he's doing ads for Brigantine, I'd be like, oh, shit, we are fucked. But the fact that he's getting all the national brands, all the national attention, and he's showing that he can do it from San Diego gives him one less reason to leave. Now all they have to do is make him comfortable, treat him like a king, and pay him the same rate that anyone else would pay him, and you're probably fine.
Well, you know, it appears right now that the Padres' strategy to lock up Tatis long-term is to build the best possible team around him to win and to convince him thusly that he does not need to leave because he can win here and win a title, and winning a title is the ultimate thing, and then everything else you said would then click into place. Because I do think it bears noting, Fernando Tatis is doing quite well, don't get me wrong, but he is not making $40 million
not
from
yet.
Endorsements right now. He's not, he might be making four. You know, I mean, well, it's not.
He's also not, like, he's not at LeBron's level because LeBron's been there for 15 years and he's a
right.
global brand.
No, that's exactly, but, and of course he also had the, you know, he was on the cover of SI when he was 16, LeBron. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a slightly different situation. Plus, basketball is a global sport and baseball is kind of a global sport, but kind of really not. So there 100% differences exist, but I do think they're on different, like, I do think that what you said is true. Once a global brand superstar is in that stratosphere, mm-hmm. at that point, what the team pays him is less important than the overall direction of the corporation, so to speak. Right. But right now, during the buildup for Fernando Tatis Jr., that's where I'm a little more concerned. You're getting paid almost nothing by your club. Your club has not extended you. Your club has not given you a raise. They have filled in everybody around you and given everybody around you raises. You're getting money from Gatorade, BMW, Adidas, and Sony, and they're telling you that you're the single hottest thing in the world. But Manny's making $30 million, and you're making $1 million. You know, that's going to matter at some point. Does it matter today? Hopefully not. He seems like the happy-go-lucky kid that's walking around the Dominican Republic in flip-flops. And people are going, what the hell is he doing? Why doesn't he have an entourage? You know, what a genuine kid. But that's what I do wonder about. And really the bottom line for me, John, is I love all the money and commitment that Peter Seidler has put into this team. It can't stop at the water's edge. It has to include the deep plunge on Tatis, or else it's not going to feel the same.
This is the thing. Peter Seidler is not a dumb man. And I think he understands that path to financial stability and success as owner of the San Diego Padres is going to have to, at least for these next few years, revolve around, we have a superstar, someone who's a global brand. And if that global brand leaves and signs with the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Giants, the Padres go right back to where they were before Tatis.
Right.
And the fact that he was here doesn't matter. If they can find a way to win a championship, keep him here for his whole career or the vast majority of his career, build statues to him and everything, then you get to hold on to that global brand as a part of your own forever.
Then you become a global brand. Then
yes.
The Padres are like the Chicago Bulls, right? Even if the Bulls aren't good right now, how many tens of millions of folks in China and Europe and Asia, you know, and Africa have Bulls stuff because they bought it when Michael Jordan was the most singular athlete on the planet, you
right,
know,
exactly.
That's just, it is, it's the nature of things. And that's what we talked about on the Snell Kim Darvish podcast, the opportunity the Padres have to truly blow up as a global brand.
Hey, Mid-Atlantic, it's me, Winter. Just a heads up, I'm going to ice and snow all week. But if you're driving a Honda, you'll be fine. And right now, Honda is offering its best ever APR on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, and more. With real-time all-wheel drive and all the safety features included with Honda Sensing, like a collision mitigation braking system and adaptive cruise control. Oh, and don't forget to turn on your heated seats. It's going to get cold. Sorry. See your local Honda dealer today. Hey, Mid-Atlantic, it's me, Winter. Just a heads up, I'm going to ice and snow all week. But if you're driving a Honda, you'll be fine. And right now, Honda is offering its best ever APR on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, and more. With real-time all-wheel drive and all the safety features included with Honda Sensing, like a collision mitigation braking system and adaptive cruise control. Oh, and don't forget to turn on your heated seats. It's going to get cold. Sorry. See your local Honda dealer today.
Okay, we've got two lefties left on our docket here. Tell me what you want to tell me about Eric Hosmer, because I feel like we've completely worked this field over.
We have someone, I want to say it was Craig Goldstein. Someone was doing like a Fangraphs Q&A today. I need to find it because they responded to the old like, should Hosmer hit against lefties? Oh, here it is. Kevin Goldstein. Someone asked him in a chat, at what point does Preller look at the roster he's built and think to himself, this roster has way too much talent to still be playing Hosmer against lefties? And Kevin Goldstein said, I can understand this thinking, but there are all sorts of other factors that say you should play him. These are human beings, and it's not Strat-O-Matic, and making Hosmer a platoon player would have other, at times immeasurable, implications. Now, first of all, that's vague, and second of all, that's bullshit, and third of all, it's just wrong. Like, Hosmer cannot hit lefties well. He has proven this time and time and time and time again in his career. It's getting worse. It's not a small sample size. He's bad at hitting lefties. There's the added benefit when you bench him against lefties, if your defense is probably going to get better because he's a bad first baseman defensively at this point. So the only argument you could possibly make for not benching him against lefties is the old, well, he's the team leader, and if you bench him, the team's going to be demoralized because he's their leader and he's the clubhouse guy, which is the same bullshit that led to the Padres outbidding nobody to spend $1 billion for a first baseman who stinks, unless he's facing right-handed pitching, in which case he's sometimes good. Like, and my response to that, and I tweeted it at somebody, was they're pros. Sometimes your friend has to sit on the bench because he stinks. They'll be fine. Like, I don't know that Hosmer sitting against lefties is really going to depress Manny Machado or Fernando Tatis or Tommy Pham. Like, are those guys really sitting around, oh no? Or are they going like, wow, I'm sure glad my team is putting players in positions to succeed and not asking them to do things that they can't? Like, the whole argument itself is bullshit, and I'm tired of smart baseball people making it.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, and I hope I am because I'm going to use it to make a point. Do you know who led the Dodgers in homers last year?
Led the Dodgers in homers last year. I don't. Corey Seager?
I'm pretty sure it was A.J. Pollock.
What?
Who led the Dodgers in home runs. Now, we can go look it up if you'd like, but I'm pretty sure that, like, by one, he led the Dodgers in home runs.
I will look it up while you continue your point, and I will tell you whether or not you are right.
AJ Pollock, well, he hit 16 home runs, which is a lot.
Oh, he tied the lead with Mookie Betts. They both hit 16.
Okay, yep. So I wasn't lying.
No, you were right.
AJ Pollock sat half the World Series. He sat half the World Series because the wrong-handed pitcher was on the mound. And he hit lefties better than righties. And they had guys on the bench who could hit righties better than lefties. And the Dodgers won the World Series, gang. the Rays, other than a Rosarena, I mean, a couple guys, they would mix and match all the time. And truly, what any person who forwards this argument, this specific argument about Eric Hosmer, and let me be clear, that argument is, yes, he may be worse at the plate and in the field, but you don't know what you lose if you keep him from being the everyday starter. If you boil that down and let the skin peel off the bone, John, aren't they really saying that Eric Hosmer is a bad teammate?
Because his teammates can't survive without him?
No, because if you bench him half the time, apparently he's going to make a real big stink, right? I thought he was the best clubhouse guy possible.
Yeah, why can't he just be like, he's an additional bench coach against lefties? Like, why couldn't it be that?
Right. Why isn't Kevin Acey's, you know, puff piece column that's disguised as a news story from spring training about how incredibly gracious Eric Hosmer is and how understanding he is of his role as a veteran and how to maximize his efficiency. And now, you know, it's the true sense of Eric Hosmer's character that he knows that he doesn't have to be out there every inning.
He's not afraid to admit to his teammates that he has a weakness and that he's willing to work through it with the team. Like, imagine if, you know, Trent Grisham goes through a couple weeks where he can't hit lefties and they got to bench him against lefties. Like, now Hosmer's there to throw his arm. Hey, champ, happens to me too. It'll be all right. Like, you'll get that rhythm against righties, and, you know, maybe eventually they'll give you a chance again. Do you want to take a guess on the difference in OPS for Hosmer for his career, righty versus lefty?
110 points.
160 points.
Ooh.
His OPS career versus righties, 824, solid. His OPS career versus lefties is 661. It's bad. It's bad. Mm-hmm. That's a below average hitter against lefties. And his defense stinks. Like, if you were arguing his defense is amazing, he's gold glover, and therefore he should be there all the time because the pitchers rely on him, and sure, I could buy that argument, but it's not true, so no one's making it. But the other argument people could just make, and it's not fact-based, so they're just like, oh, there's immeasurable consequences if you bench him against lefties. I hate that argument so much. And someone, I think it was Brett Boone, I talked about this on the podcast like a year ago, said that if you benched Hosmer versus lefties or did like a, what do you call it when one player plays against lefties and one player plays
platoon.
Against lefties? Platoon, thank you. My brain just kept going to split, and I'm like, nope. Brett Boone was asked, like, you know, what if you platoon Hosmer? And he was like, oh, well, that's going to destroy his confidence. And you can't destroy his confidence. Because
so, again, he's a fragile flower. He's not right. A big, tough guy. He's a fragile little snowflake. You've got to coddle him. You've got to tell him, Eric, you're batting fourth. It doesn't matter that you're 0-for-23. We love you.
To your point, when someone suggests, like, hey, should we bench Hosmer against lefties, the response should be like, Hosmer could take anything. Hosmer would be fine if you did that. If you think that's going to make your team better, Hosmer is going to be on board because he's a team player. But instead, it's like, oh, no, you can't. It's going to screw up the team. It's going to screw up Hosmer. No, I hate it. I hate that argument so much.
I can't believe how powerful the narrative was that Scott Boras laid down.
Right?
That all of baseball just picked up. And quite frankly, and Kevin Goldstein, by the way, is a data-driven guy that moved into a front office and moved back out. And he more than anything makes you pause because it's not, you know, Nick Canepa saying it or even Ken Rosenthal or Bob Nightingale.
Kevin
Acey. It's a guy who.
Right.
Right. Right. It's a guy who you think would like dismiss that type of stuff out of hand. And yet somehow Scott Boras's sales job, just everyone picked that up and ate the entire bowl. And I'm not here to say that Eric Hosmer isn't genuinely liked by his teammates or a good whatever, but I don't give a shit. Like, I mean, I care about the chemistry of the club, but again, if he's such a great leader, then he'll accept as a veteran that he's not the best player on the team. And by the way, what mattered in 2018 when you signed Eric Hosmer and on a horrifically bad team, he was supposed to be the best thing on it, and he wasn't, but that's different. Like, oh, benching Eric Hosmer, he's the only guy. You just signed him. He's the first biggest free agent in Padres history. You can't start benching him half the time. Da-da-da-da-da. No one now thinks Eric Hosmer is one of the five best players on the San Diego Padres, and I'm pretty sure most people don't think he's one of the 10 best players on the San Diego Padres. So why the hell are we coddling a middle tier of our roster player to say that, well, his shine is different than anybody else's? I'm sure if Ha-Sung Kim comes in and is 0-for-25 against high-velocity fastballs from right-handers, he's not going to see any more because they're going to put him against low-velo guys and lefties only. But Eric Hosmer, you know, I mean, look, when we signed the contract, we told him he can play every day.
Good. I'm glad that you got as fired up about that as I was. Because in the beginning, you were like, what's this Hosmer thing? And I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be me bitching and Craig going, whatever, John. I'm glad you got in on that.
Do you want to do anything about Hader? I don't think the Padres are trading for Josh Hader. Prove me wrong, please. I'm the guy sitting at the desk in the public square saying, prove me wrong.
I don't want to prove you wrong. I don't even want to talk about it. And unless it happens, we'll talk about it then. I don't even want to talk about it because he's not a good person. And I said on the last time we did this podcast, I think they're done with the bullpen. I want to talk about Paddock.
Okay.
Because 4 or 5 days ago, Preller fan Dan, Padre fan Dan, tweeted out, man, why do Padres podcasters hate Chris Paddock so much? I felt like this was aimed at us. I haven't listened to all the other Padre podcasts, but I felt like this was aimed at us. And so I felt the need to defend us. And actually, I think the reason I saw it was because Bobby Cressy, in addition to playing our theme music, is an avid fan of this podcast. And so he tweeted it at me and said, like, I'm interested to see. He was like, there's a right answer to this, and I'm interested to see if John Gennaro has it. I went down this hole, and I started fighting with people about how I thought the Paddock shtick was really fake and meant to try and turn him into a big superstar with his relentless glove and his big stupid hair and the cowboy boots and the cowboy hat and the bolo tie. And I just said I thought it was fake. And not that he, you know, doesn't wear a cowboy hat, but I thought that, you know, I thought he would have cut his hair by now if he wasn't trying to draw attention to himself with that hair, right?
Okay.
And eventually it turned into a whole thing where I said something about, like, you know, me and you have similar political standings and he seems to have opposite. And so maybe that's bleeding into it as well. And then people are like, oh, well, you just hate him because of his politics. It has nothing to do with. So anyway, I spoke for you and I spoke for me. And I said, Ryan Cohen came back at me and said, I don't mean to come off as snarky. I'm genuinely curious, of course, because it's Ryan. He's a sweetheart. He said, we all want Major League Baseball players to show more personality and grow the game. Paddock shows personality, so what do you dislike? And that's when Bobby jumped in and said, there's a good answer to this, and I'm interested to hear John articulate it. My response was, wearing a cowboy hat and calling yourself relentless is not a personality. I want personality as a form of celebration. Think Tatis bat flips. I said, I love the moments when Paddock gets fired up on the mound. The rest feels like too much or feels too much like acting for me. And then Bobby, because I didn't give the exact answer he was looking for, chimed in and said, I think it also just hits so different if it's icing on top of the success instead of all there is, basically. And then it turned into this thing where him and a lot of other people were saying, like, if Paddock had been successful in his second year, we wouldn't hate him. Or the shtick that, you know, if he was good last year, we'd love the cowboy hats and the cowboy boots and the bolo ties and the hair and the relentless. We'd love it all if he was good last year. I don't agree with that. Like, I always disliked the caricature of Chris Paddock, and I always, you know, I enjoyed him on the mound. I still think he's going to be a good pitcher, whether that's in the starting rotation or the bullpen. I think he's got really fixable problems. To me, it just always felt like one of his priorities was trying to become a global brand, mm-hmm. as opposed yeah, to just no, going that's right. And this is like the thing you were kind of worrying about with Tatis. Like, what if he gets to the point where he's more worried about being global brand than being a good baseball player? I tend to think Paddock is already kind of there. And that's what bothers me a lot. But since I spoke for you a number of times on Twitter that night, I wanted to give you the opportunity to respond yourself.
Well, I think it's something very interesting you just said right there, because, you know, continuing from what we were talking about before, I truly do believe that if Chris Paddock was 33-0 with a 0.8 ERA and on the cover of MLB The Show, and, you know, not that Tatis was that dominant, but I'm just saying, if he had a dominant year and was on the cover, I don't think he would handle it as the same way that I feel like Fernando Tatis handles things. And I do think a large part of that has to do with the fact that Fernando Tatis Jr. has Fernando Tatis Sr., who was a very successful Major League Baseball player, to help guide him and explain, you know, what's what in terms of the life and career of a baseball player. Chris Paddock does not have that same luxury of experience that Fernando Tatis Jr. has. The way I would describe my personal feelings about Chris Paddock is that I care far more about the effectiveness of the pitcher. Okay? Do I find his shtick personally distasteful? I mean, it's just not my thing, right? Distasteful isn't the right word. You can wear a cowboy hat. Philip Rivers rocked the bolo and the boots. You know, he was a San Diegan that people found charming, completely understanding that he was a Southerner, and completely understanding that his politics would be different than ours, right? Mm-hmm. We still found a way to embrace the humanity of Philip Rivers, to find the elements of his personal character that we enjoyed, and that rang true to us, and respected him. And honestly, while I could 100% guarantee you that he and I would see oppositely on so many social issues, I have a ton of respect for Philip Rivers. So having said that,
Just quick aside for you to add more context to that. Philip Rivers did the cowboy boots, bolo tie thing in year 12 of his career.
Right.
Like, it wasn't year one. It wasn't year two. It was when he was long past giving a shit about if he was a global brand, and he was just kind of having fun and trying to make his teammates laugh, I think.
Yeah. So I have kind of a twin issue with Chris Paddock. One is that he became far less effective as a pitcher. And he mm-hmm. gave up a lot of home runs, and his fastball was very straight. And he did not, to me, react well to very many big game situations either. You know, and I think that was especially proven in the playoffs, right? When he went out there and just looked completely horrible. And remember that deep crouch, that Tebow-like prayer moment, you know, and it, like, I'm more into this than I've ever been. Well, I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm going to eat my entire pizza and not sleep. Like, so
I always forget about the damn pizza thing, and you won't let me forget it. Thank God.
So I think Bobby was exactly right in terms of it's a difference between success and then there's shtick, and shtick and there's nothing else. And it goes back to the old Bull Durham, you know, win 20 games and you're colorful. Otherwise, you're a slob, you know, and that's
a great point.
You know, that's what it is to me with Chris Paddock, is that the thing is that Chris continues to double down. He's the guy who every time says, nothing's ever going to change me or change the way that I am. And that's supposed to be a positive, but because we see him failing, instead it looks like stubbornness, you know?
I also, this is going to sound dumb. I don't know if it is dumb, but it's going to sound dumb. There's also a point to this where you're like, maybe the mullet halfway down your back isn't working this year. So, like, I've seen players that, like, they have a shtick, and then they go through a down year, a slump, and they're just like, all right, screw the shtick. I'm going to do the opposite, get my mind into some other place, and try again. And maybe it's too much to be like, hey, when it's not working, don't do the shtick, try something else. Maybe that plays to your point of like just stubbornness of like, I'm going to be me, I'm going to be this character no matter if I'm good or bad.
You know, the last thing I'll say about that is it reminds me of the great mantra from the last 4 years, which from Rachel Maddow, which was don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. And, you know, in the case of Chris Paddock, right, almost everything that's talked about is the stuff he says. You know, it's the look, the talk, the and frankly, you know, our Padre fandom group has gone through some real desperate times, and they've wanted to be loved and to have something to love. And now we're in a position just a year later than we were, where we've got an abundance of riches now, and it all seems silly. But like 2 years ago, people really needed Chris Paddock to be that guy for them. They could wear the big button when they go and wear their cowboy hat when they go to the game, and the whole thing, like everyone was kind of along for the ride with all that stuff. And it feels deeply unnecessary at this point. But we did help create that shtick right along with him. Not you and I, but I mean, San Diegans, the club, the fans, Padres Twitter helped create that persona for Chris Paddock that he's bigger than life. But when I said, watch not what they say, but what they do, what have the Padres done? The Padres have pushed Chris Paddock further and further and further and further down the depth chart.
Hey, he's like the fifth starter now.
He's at best the fifth starter for this team. He's a potential bullpen changeover guy, which is the Gennaro plan. You know, I continue to say, like, what's the deal with Mackenzie Gore? Is this guy no good anymore? Because in theory, you're going to put him in AAA. He's going to go 9-0 with a 1.1 ERA, and you're going to have to call up Mackenzie Gore because he's the number one pitching prospect in all of Major League Baseball. You know, and at that point, he's going to be dynamite, and then somebody has to go, you know? And so it's less and less of a concern to me. I just, you know, do I find the whole thing distasteful? Like I said, it's not my bag. But look, I thought Matt Latos was a complete asshole. And, you know, Chris Young was somebody I didn't particularly love in terms of his personal demeanor. But when they were effective, that was good for the Padres, you know? And I can take that type of tribalism to some extent. I just think the reality is Chris Paddock is... it's on him, man. He's either going to push up or he's going to continue to be marginalized. And when he's pitching for Detroit in 4 years mm-hmm. after he was in Cincinnati, you know, people, you'll just hear that announcer go, he once was known as the sheriff until he wound up having his tin star taken away from him.
Why does the Detroit announcer sound like he's from San Antonio?
Why not?
Why not? All right, you ready to get out of here?
Padres Hot Tub, thank you so much for joining us. Consider supporting us on Patreon. Have we changed the
it's Patreon. No, it's patreon.com/mtpga. I'll probably change it at some point, but right now it's still patreon.com/mtpga.
Oh, John, consider what? Editing this to the front of the podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
We left out the most important thing.
What's the most important thing?
Padres Hot Tub is proudly sponsored by HeHe Streams, the best way to watch sports on the internet. Listen, you are listening to our podcast. You're a Padres fan. If you're living in San Diego, you're under one of two equally untenable umbrellas, okay? Either you are a cable subscriber or a DirecTV subscriber, and you're paying way too much for what you're getting per month. You're paying for hundreds of channels that you've never watched and you don't even know exist. And you're probably fed up with your service and like you're calling them every 3 months going, I'm really sick of you, just to get $20 off your bill that month. It's an untenable situation. Or you're in the other umbrella over here with me where you cut the cord to save money, and you had a good setup, and everything looked all right, and then Sinclair bought all of the Fox Sports RSNs, jacked up the price, all of the different streaming platforms were like, screw you, now they're in a fight, and you've got a platform and you don't have the Padres. Come up in April, you're like, uh-oh, I hope they get their shit together. But you have no idea that they will. So John and I have the solution for you. And you're not going to go to jail no matter what.
Because it's not illegal.
Because it's not illegal for you. And it's hehestreams.com. H-E-H-E streams.com. It's this simple. Give our homie $100 for any season. You want MLB? Bam. MLB unlocked, baby. No geographical restrictions. That means you can watch every Padres game on the platform commercial free.
Yeah, if you've ever thought to yourself, like, man, I wish I could just buy the MLB.TV like Padres package, but I can't because I'm going to get blacked out because I live in San Diego. No blackouts. You can do it.
No blackouts, no matter who your favorite team is. And it's got all of the love that comes with the MLB League Pass. It's got MLB Network. It's got every game, home team, away team, national team feed, everything that you get in MLB Pass, but it's A, cheaper than MLB's Pass, B, no blackout restriction. Now, take that and attach it to NBA, NHL, and the National Football League, and all of these great American sports leagues are available for you on hehestreams.com. Do I wish they had English Premier League? I do. Do I wish they had some other sports? I do.
Me too.
Could that happen sometime down the road? I don't know. Will they Probably. Exist a month from now? I don't know. But they're here now and we love them. So go to hehestreams.com. Tell them that we sent you. And in fact, reach out to us, right, John? Because I don't think we've established yet our special code.
It's just we have referral codes, and if you just reach out to us and say, hey, I want to sign up for HeHe Streams, I'll send you a link, or Craig will send you a link. It gets you, I think, $10 off. So instead of paying $100, you're actually paying $90 for any of those seasons, and it gets us $10 as well, I think.
So that's the deal. We've hooked up with these guys there. You know, John, you've got the service. I've got the service. We've been using it. It's incredible. It's great. Really, you should take this and just take it from the end of the podcast. Put it on the front of the podcast.
I'll leave it here and I'll put it on the front. That way they can hear it at the beginning and the end.
I like that because he streams. Hehestreams.com. Go there. Tell them we sent you. We want to. This is the way around. That's all I'm saying. This is the way around for Padres fans. You're going to get screwed. You're either going to pay too much or you're not going to get your Padres. Or option C, HeHeStreams.com.
Hey, Mid-Atlantic, it's me, Winter. Just a heads up, I'm going to ice and snow all week. But if you're driving a Honda, you'll be fine. And right now, Honda is offering its best ever APR on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, and more. With real-time all-wheel drive and all the safety features included with Honda Sensing, like a collision mitigation braking system and adaptive cruise control. Oh, and don't forget to turn on your heated seats. It's going to get cold. Sorry. See your local Honda dealer today. Hey, Mid-Atlantic, it's me, Winter. Just a heads up, I'm going to ice and snow all week. But if you're driving a Honda, you'll be fine. And right now, Honda is offering its best ever APR on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, and more. With real-time all-wheel drive and all the safety features included with Honda Sensing, like a collision mitigation braking system and adaptive cruise control. Oh, and don't forget to turn on your heated seats. It's going to get cold. Sorry. See your local Honda dealer today.